Women's Shir and Chavis Halvavas, Wednesday, Shara Avodas Avokim, Yom Dalet Parshas Noso, the 9th of Sivan, 27th of May, and it's Shir number 17 in Shara Avodas Avokim, Wednesday of Noso, Sivan 9, May 27. Okay, the truth is that we've finished the bulk, at least certainly in terms of Eichus, maybe in terms of Kamus also, I didn't count the words, of Shara Avodas Elokim. The main idea, what the Chavis is famous for, is the idea that all of our Avodas Elokim is based on Hakaras HaTov, to Hashem, and the ramifications of that. And his splitting up Ha'ara Sichlis and Ha'ara Toronis, which is a very, very big chiddush, that the Chovos Halvavos of the mitzvahs, either of the mitzvahs that we do, the rituals that we do, or just going beyond the rituals and saying, you know, I can extrapolate that I see this is what how Hashem wants me to be, and forming what we call a relationship with Hashem just beyond the rituals, which would be like thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim on a regular day and being so thankful for it. Thinking about the Tosfos is a very strange idea. I think about how Hashem, you know, gave Sukkos to Bnei Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim, but it's not Sukkos, it's like maybe it's the middle of the winter or it's the summer. But or the idea of Kippur Avraham, or the idea of all the mitzvahs. So that's really, and he gives the benefits of each kind, and he explains that they're both necessary, but ultimately the rituals are a stepping stone to the Chovos Halavavos. He then talks about, very famously, the idea that there's no such thing as something that's spiritually neutral. Even if something is not a mitzvah and not an Aveira, technically, it's not one of the 248, not one of the 365, but there is no spiritually neutral ground. There's no de-spiritualized zone. We explained last week, I think, the philosophy behind it, because Hashem is everywhere and everything. So you're either doing something that Hashem approves of, or you're doing something He doesn't approve of. There's no area that Hashem is not involved in, so there really philosophically cannot be any spiritually neutral ground. The Chavis Halvavos shows it logically and mathematically. He says you're either doing enough, you're doing too much, you're doing too little. Is it the Ratzon Hashem? Is it not the Ratzon Hashem? But on a philosophical level, it's the same as saying, well, everything has to be spiritually meaningful, because Hashem is everywhere and everything, and there's no area in the world that is void of Hashem's presence, of His Shechina, of His Kavod. So how could something be neutral? It's either you're either working with Him or you're working against Him. Saying that there's a spiritually neutral area would be the equivalent of saying that there's an area where He is not, which He doesn't care about, or he's not there. He doesn't walk into that room over there. But that's the philosophy behind it, but the Lovis explains it even logically, and he shows it. Now we're up to, I'm not sure what to do. He's up to, from now till the end of Shara Avodas Elokim, is not as exciting, maybe, and maybe it's a little more difficult to relate it to our everyday lives, which I try to do whenever we learn Chavis Halvavos, no matter how esoteric it may seem. But we're going to try. The next piece I'm just going to tell you by heart. It's really, I would really skip it totally, but I don't like skipping things, but I'll certainly skip the text. Because it's a very primary work. You know, we look at the Chavis Halvavos maybe with the benefit of hindsight, that we have Chumash, Mishnayos, and Gemara, and Rishonim and Achronim and Musas Forum and Chuvas Forum, and we have like pile, millions and millions and millions of Svarim have been written, and in times of Chavis Allah, there's very few Svarim have been written. By the way, there's no printing press yet, so certainly very few Svarim were written. And Svarim were few and far between. People didn't have them, didn't have access to them. And the life, Jewish life, this is before Rashi, before the Rambam, before the Ramban, before the Rashba, certainly before the Beis Yosef, before the Shulchan Aruch, certainly. So Jewish life was, it was still like finding its way, sort of, in terms of, you know, it's hard for us to imagine. Like, what do you do without a Shulchan Aruch? How do you learn Gemara without a Rashi? How do you know what to do without a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? You know, like, there's no, so it's a very primary, so it might seem to us boring. You have to understand, in the Chagat Allah, this is world, and he is a very, he has a very, it appeals to me very much, a very beautiful analytical style where he goes back always to basics and he builds from the ground up, just like he starts off his Sefer with Sha'arei Yichud, right? So he's, everything he approaches that way, he starts from the bottom floor, from the ground, he assumes nothing, no preconceived notions. And he tells you, you know, what a Jew has to think, how you're supposed to think, and he starts from the very, very, very beginning. As we'll see now, he makes two lists. The first list, I'm just going to tell you about Al-Peh. It's not even so clear why. I mean, he does it because he's talking about Shara, about the Selokin. So he wants to be all-encompassing. He's going to go through different levels of knowing Torah. Different levels. And you'll see the second one I mean by that. He wants us to know, you know, certainly we have to know Torah, a man has to know Torah in a more intense, all-encompassing way than a woman has to know Torah. Nowadays, women learn Torah also, and they certainly have to know. I mean, if a woman would just do what she's obligated to do, which is to know the halachas that she has to do, so she should close up shop and go to Kollel, and learn from morning to night the rest of her life, and she wouldn't finish learning the halachas that she's supposed to do. So it's almost like, you know, you say a woman doesn't really have to learn Torah, but you have to learn so much Torah that you wouldn't get out of there. You know, you should go to Kollel, tell the other people stay home, take care, because you have to learn the mitzvahs you have to do, and that's, it's like almost funny because that's a lifetime of work, and who could ever say, okay, I'm finished learning and I now know what I have to do. Now we're ready for the other one. So he splits up, but it's Shar of Avodas Elokim. It's certainly part of Avodas Elokim. It's Torah, knowledge of Torah. So he splits it up into 10 areas. And again, he starts from the bottom. Now, we're not going to learn it inside. Inside it sounds like he's criticizing the lower levels. But he's not criticizing them, they're very important to learn and to know. What he's criticizing is those that only stop at those levels. Okay? But each level is a level of knowledge of Torah, and he considers it important. And they're all important. And it's not for me to say that it's equally important, but, you know, for the first two, three, four, five, six levels, we understand you have to move up. You can't stay at that level. But Hagalovas is giving us a chart, and he's labeling 10 levels, and we should probably, maybe it's more relevant to a man, we should always want to move up a step. And according to Hagalovas' approach to life, you would never jump two steps at a time, you would always go only to the next step. That's his philosophy of life in every area. Okay, and one more point is that sadly, I don't know, say it with that. The reality is that B'meshech HaDoros, and the way the Jewish world is structured nowadays, the learning in yeshivas, they don't follow. Like, you don't have what the Chavis Halevus would say. I say he builds from the ground up. It's a knowledge of Hebrew grammar. So that's like level three. So, you know, he criticizes if you just stop there. But certainly, it's very important, and we shown them all the grammar, and they wrote svarim about it. I'm not talking about Ivrit grammar, I'm talking about Lashon Kodesh grammar. Many times it's the same. But nowadays, you know, we're in a pretty depressing state, and the boys learn Gemara, and they don't have knowledge of Tanakh, and they don't have knowledge of grammar, and they don't have knowledge of how to enunciate words properly. And sometimes you hear it when a guy is davening for the Omud, and it's not good. But the leaders of the Jewish people, it's like we can't, you know. So you'll have Yechidim that'll still be knowledgeable in all these areas, which are very necessary areas. But somewhere along the line, someone, I don't know whom, someone decided that, you know, we can't hack it. We can't hack it. Right? I tell a person how to learn just all of Mishnayos. It's like an overwhelming task. Imagine if we would demand of people to learn Jewish Hebrew grammar, Lashon Kodesh grammar, and conjugation, and seven, what's it called when you... Seven binyanim. What is it called in English?
Building blocks.
No.
Conjugations.
Conjugations, thank you. Seven conjugations and the different forms. Hifil, Poel. I went to a school that had two tracks, Ivrit and Yiddish. And Baruch Hashem, my parents put me in the Ivrit track, even though that's where all the yeshivish guys went to the Yiddish track. But my parents, for some reason, my father was like a very yeshivish person, but they put me in the Ivrit track, and I learned all the grammar I know. I learned in the third and fourth grade by Rabbi Markov and Rabbi Reisberg with the binyanim, and how to pronounce words correctly, and how to enunciate them correctly, and the rules of grammar, and the difference between zachar and akeva. And my kids don't know that. Like, they're clueless. Maybe they have a little by osmosis, but so it's not good, but that's the way it is. You know, you tell a person now you have to learn Shas, just, and it's an overwhelming task. So it's a part of the Aridus Hadoros. So what are the 10 levels? He says the first level are people that just know how to read. Maybe first grade level, second grade level, they know how to read. They don't understand even what they're saying. Maybe we know people like that. They know how to read. And he criticizes that. Again, he's criticizing if you stop there. And there's a famous phrase. I'll say the phrase he says because it's a famous phrase. And you'll be able to say, I know where that phrase comes from. That comes from Chavis Allah. It's the Sharavodas Elokim. He calls it a Chamor Nose Sfar, a donkey carrying books. Because he doesn't understand. Now, nowadays, that phrase is used sometimes when people learn even Gemara on a very low level, and they barely understand the Gemara, but they can learn through Shas, and barely, and they don't have a deep understanding, and sometimes they'll be criticized with this phrase, Chamor Nosei Sfarim, but the Chavis Halalas uses it only for people who know how to read, and that's it. They stop, they can read. Okay, the second level, he says, are people that are careful about their reading. They enunciate the words, they pronounce the words properly, which nowadays most people don't. If you talk about Mil El and Mil Ra, it's like a lost thing. And if you're careful about Mil El and Mil Ra, right away people think you're about Shulah, and your daughter won't get a Shidduch. Or else you sound like telling about Shulah, because you're careful about Mila El and Mila Ra. Of course, the Gedolim are always careful about Mila El and Mila Ra, especially when it comes to Kriyashma. How many people say Biyohavta? They say Kriyashma. And it's, I don't want to pass in here that you're not Yotze, but you're changing the meaning of the word. If you don't say Biyohavta, you say V'yohavto Hashem, and you say in benching V'yohalto V'savoto V'yrafto, and that's terribly wrong. It's V'yohalto V'savoto V'yohalto V'savoto V'yrafto. Too complicated. You got to remember the first and the third. Anyway, this people. So this is like a lost art. And if you're Hasidish, it's like unfortunately by the Hasidim, it's a mitzvah to say it wrong. And sometimes the word's Mila El, they say everything Mila El, except when a word's Mila El, they'll say it Mila Ra, just to make sure they don't get it right. It's like some sort of holy mitzvah to say it wrong. And there's historical reasons for that. I got a guy that the shliach tzibur in my shul read that in the morning. So Baruch Atah Hashem Chonein Hadoas. Like finally Hadoas is right, and he says Hadoas. There are historical reasons for that. It's wrong, but the historical reasons are the Haskalah movement, which put all of Judaism into grammar and Ivrit and the language and the culture, and this is how most of Klal Yisrael became not frum. This is how Klal Yisrael disintegrated after Napoleon and the emancipation. There was a shift. Klal Yisrael became mostly not frum, which never existed in history. In our worst moments of the Tztukim and the Baisusim and the Shomronim, the overwhelming majority were always frum. That changed.
What?
Hellenism also, you didn't. It was more of a cultural thing than a frumkeit thing. And it was a minority that became not frum. But now, unfortunately, there was a breakdown after the emancipation. And part of that was there was a Hebrew Haskalah, and a Yiddish Haskalah, and a Russian Haskalah. There were different types of Haskalah. And anyway, they were like, their whole religion became Hebrew language and Hebrew grammar. So almost as a, you know, negative reaction to that, to say we don't want any part of them, it's like Eretz Yisrael used to be a value by most people. And then thanks to the secular Zionists who made it into a religion at the expense of Torah and Hashem, so it created a negative reaction to the point where, at least in America, Eretz Yisrael is not a value in yeshivas. So I can say that. It's very sad, but it's not a value. But there are historical reasons for it. It didn't just come out of nowhere. Anyway, so that's level two, that not only do they read, but they take care to enunciate the words correctly and to pronounce them correctly and to follow the rules of grammar. Again, like Amil-El, Amil-Ra, that's level two. Level three is they understand Hebrew grammar, not just they learn how to read it, but they are more sophisticated. They learn about the conjugations and what's a noun and what's a verb. And when you say, you know, davar and devar Torah, it's like there's an order, there's an understood word shell there. Davar shell Torah is devar Torah. And when you use a future tense, and it really means a past tense, and when you use a past tense, and it means a future tense, how you say an infinitive, when you have a mole, when you have a chaser, synonyms, hononyms, you know, you have these things in Hebrew grammar too. That's really a more sophisticated level of knowing Torah. The fourth level of learning Torah, you know, are people, and he keeps saying, people that have these three, right? The groundwork of Torah. I'm saying nowadays they skip the groundwork except for the reading part. Number three is knowing the rules of grammar and understanding grammar and all the parts of grammar, like nouns, verbs, conjugations, synonyms, the difference between different synonyms, sasom, simcha, gila, rina, ditza, chedva. Number four is knowing the words of the Torah clearly, and there's many difficult words in the Torah, and figuring out from the root, the words have roots, right? Shoresh, the big machlokas between the door before Rashi, if basic Hebrew grammar, most words have a two-word root, or a two-letter root, or a three-letter root, very, very big machlokas amongst the Rishonim. What's the default two or three letter roots? And Rashi has his Rabbein. Sometimes if you come across an unfamiliar word in Rashi, that's the name of his grammar teachers, Dunash. I forgot the other one. So that's level four, that they know the words. Again, they're not going into the Pshat and the Chumash. They're not delving. They're more worried about the meaning of the individual words. They're not yet up to the ideas behind what the Chumash is expressing. They want to make sure they understand the words and everything about the words. Like I say, you know, the root of the word, what the word means.
Isn't that the etymology?
What?
Isn't that the etymology?
Yeah, etymology, yeah. So that would be level four. And they're not concerned too much with what the Chumash is teaching us. Okay. Level five is they're already understanding. They want to understand what it says. And maybe some things are a metaphor and some things are to be taken literally. Especially if, let's say, there are phrases that describe Hashem in a physical manner. So they understand it's metaphorical. And they explain Tanakh already. But not necessarily, the way Chazal explained it. Yeah, for example, the Eben Ezra explained many things in Tanakh according to his understanding of it. It was his understanding. It was all pikshat. The Rashbam, many times, is more pshat even than Rashi. Rashbam is a very nice. There are printings of Rashbam that censored the Rashbam because they don't want to poison our minds with things the Rashbam said. This is it's a secret that the people who know Sfarim are aware of the secret. So they had a censor the Rashbam. Just to give you an example, when it says tefillin in the Torah, it doesn't say put on tefillin and I mean black straps, and it doesn't say anything. It says, so the Rashbam explained those words in a very pshat way, and it doesn't mean tefillin. Because it's a level of pshat. Now, you could take to the bank that the Rashbam wore tefillin. I have no doubt in my mind that the Rashbam wore tefillin. He was a good from Jew. They explained the Tanakh, Chumash and Tanakh, according to a certain level of pshat, which is legitimate. Not legitimate for us, maybe, because we would just introduce our own prejudices and our own ideas into the Chumash. And the Rashbam was like a Rishon, right? Which we really can't even relate to his holiness and his being steeped in Torah. But they did. The Radak, I will give the Nachshir, the Radak many times says, this is not like the Gemara explains this pasuk, but I don't think that's like the simple pshat in the pasuk, and I'm going to explain now the simple pshat in the pasuk, what I think it is. So Taz is like, whoa, this is like apikursus, but it's not apikursus, it's not, maybe it would be foolish for us to do it, but it's not, certainly not apikursus, it's a pshat in the Chumash. Chumash can have 70 pshat, 100 pshat, as long as you don't. If someone were to say that I want to understand the Chumash the way the Rashbam says it, and therefore not put on tefillin, that would be apikursus, because he'd be denying Torah Shabbat Peh, and he'd be denying the Masoris of what those psukim mean. But to say that there's a level of pshat, and according to that level of pshat, this is what the pasuk is saying, that's legitimate, although nowadays we get into trouble for saying it. I'm only saying it to you ladies, because I trust you. So that's level five. That's level five, and I would say, again, Chavis was before all these people, before the Evan Ezra, before the Rashbam. He was the last of the Gaonim, or maybe the first of the Rishonim. But if you want to know, who does this, I would say primarily the Evan Ezra, and the Rashbam, and the Radak. They explain things, explain things only through the lens of Chazal and the Gemara. They explain what they feel is basic pshat, a certain level of pshat. Number six is already people who explain things based on the Chachmei, the Gemara, based on how the Gemara explains it. So it's a deeper knowledge of Torah, a broader knowledge, a deeper knowledge, and that's already, you would call these, he called these people, they know Mishnais. And we're only up to number six. There's going to be 10 levels of knowing Torah. And he's already up to Mishnais, meaning the basic dinim. Shisha Sidrei Mishnah tells you your basic dinim, and it tells you your obligations, the mitzvahs, the averis, gives you the basic But it doesn't really delve into it. You don't have kashas in the Mishnahs, you'd have a machlekas maybe once in a while, or maybe more than once in a while, but you don't have pulpulim, you don't have questions and answers and like hammering out pshat and asking about different cases. You know, that's already a level, that's level 7. That they have what he calls Talmud. Talmud, what we call Gemara. And already you're asking kashas and apparent contradictions in Mishnayas, and why the Mishnah says this and that Mishnah says that, and is it a contradiction? You know, there's a lot of difficulties in the Gemara. When you learn Gemara without Rashi, right? He was looking at a Gemara without Rashi. I can tell you from our work in Osco on Yerushalmi that when you have a Gemara without Rashi, you're lost, totally lost. You don't know. So people that want to resolve and explain what the Gemara is saying, that's the 7th level of learning. Probably the first to do it in a systematic, organized way was Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel probably wrote the first, we'll call it Rashi-type Perish on Shas, on Gemara. Rabbeinu Hananel did, and he was the first. Then Rashi came along, and nobody ever heard of Rabbeinu Hananel anymore, unfortunately. So that's number 7. Number 8 is that they delve into the Gemara, but they ignore Cholos Halavavos, right? So then they really come out. They come out with psak, and they come out with what to do, and they're able to take things to the end result of what the Gemara wants us to do. And it's like halacha lemaisa, but they're not yet holding the Cholos Halavavos. The Gemara, you don't see Cholos Halavavos. The Sefer called Chovos HaLevavos had not been written yet, so there was no systematic analysis of duties of the heart, or duties of the mind. In the Gemara, you're dealing with Eivorim, usually, to the logic, 90%, 95%. So you have someone delving into the Gemara and understanding it and resolving the difficulties and asking what to do, but maybe they're still leaving out Chovos HaLevavos. That's level 9. Level 9 is already people who internalize the learning and their understanding Cholos Halavavos, and they have a broad knowledge of many areas of Torah. Let's say nowadays you'd say they know Midrashim also and Zohar also, and they're a more broad knowledge of Torah. And number 10 is already people who could become part of Amasora, like you. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, Amasora, the Yeshua, the Yeshua, the Skenim, the Skenim, the Nevi'im, and then the Tanoim, and all the way down to Shimon HaTzadik, and Yossi ben Yoezer, Yossi ben Yochanan, the Zugos mentioned in Pirkei Avos, and then you get Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and this told me them down to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And you become on that level of being one of the Masora. You can find lists in certain histories for him that take it down to our generation, really, or at least to Baruch Kotla. You see, like a claim of a Rebbe, the Talmud, right, link of the chain from us to Har Sinai, and you, to become part of that Masora is like a little intangible. It's knowledge of Kalatura, and being being the type of person that can be trusted as being one of the links in the chain of the Masora. Yeah.
It seems like the people on the 8th level are lacking, are they not saying their mitzvahs when they don't have that special
Chovos HaLevavos?
Yeah.
Certainly Yotze. Chovos HaLevavos never suggested in Shara Avodas HaLakim that you're not Yotze. If a person puts on tefillin and doesn't reflect upon what tefillin represents, if a woman takes challah and doesn't reflect upon what she's really doing when she takes challah, she certainly yotzei the mitzvah, right? But that's a lower level than reaping the benefits of what the mitzvah is supposed to do to you as a person. But if you want to talk about being yotzei, you're going to get your reward, olam haba, you're connected to Hashem on that level. Even the Chovos HaLevavos, who's a big pusher about Chovos HaLevavos, and I don't mean to not just to spur sales of his sefer, but he never suggested you're not yotzei. You're not yotzei the ones that are pure cholgos halavos. If you don't have them, you're not yotzei. If I don't have avos Hashem in my heart, so just because my lips profess to love Hashem, so I'm not yotzei avos Hashem. That's in the heart. Here is Hashem. It's in the heart. But the cholgos levavos of the Evarim, of the ritualistic mitzvahs, even he, as although he was pretty strong that that's the goal and that's the point and that's what we want to achieve, but even he never suggested that you're not yotzei. If you put on the tefillin, you take the challah and you have the mezuzah. There are certain mitzvahs which Achronim suggest you're not yotzei if you don't have the cholgos halavos. You can count them. It's whenever it says Lama'an. When the Torah says Lama'an, it's as if it's giving the reason. By Sukkot, it says Lama'an Yedu Doroseichem Ki Besukkos Oshavti Yis B'nei Yisrael. So there is a famous Shittas Habach, that if you don't think about that, you're not Yotzei. By Tfilin, it says Lama'an Tiyat Toros Hashem Beficha. By Tzitzis, it says Lama'an Tiz Geruvas Yisemes Kol Mitzvah Soi. So there is a body of opinion that when it says Lama'an, then the Cholos Halvavos is essential to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. We'd rather do not paskin that way. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that Lamaisa Yotze, even if you didn't think about what the sukkah is.
It's interesting, those are the mitzvahs for the men. Like what? None of those are mitzvahs that are male.
Wait, Laman Yerichun Yermech?
Sukkah,
Tfilin, Tzitzis. Well, Laman Yerbu Yermechem. Which we all keep it over. No, Laman Yerichun Yermech is not the Cholos Halavos of Kibbutz of Aim. It's a different Laman, I guess. It's a Laman.
Okay.
You know, for Skarbada, but the Laman Yibu Yimechem is also like that. I don't know, I don't. Offhand, I can't. I hear. That's interesting. I don't know what to make of it.
Women are busy, but not
time. Women automatically have Cholos Halavos. The truth is, the sad truth is that this is a sad truth, but unfortunately, it's true. It's a very rare individual that can be connected to both. You have, I don't want to speak badly of any sect in Yiddishkeit, you have groups that are like super duper metaktik in halacha, every little thing, and they get all, many of them are even maybe OCD, but they're really, to the degree they are, when it comes to matzah or saying kriyashma or different things, you don't find the cholgos halavos in them. You find them being very dogmatic, and they're so. We're not strong enough. We don't have a broadness of mind and spirit. It's a rare individual that can be connected to the dikta kahalacha of cholgos ha'evarim really be metaktik in halacha and live an inspired life and relate to the cholgos halavos. It's not a stira, but it turns out to be a stira, the way people are. Look around. You know, people, unfortunately, we're not like broad enough to contain. It's rare. It exists, you know, but it's rare. It's rare. Most people are either more like that or more like this, and whatever, to whatever degree, you have the people, you know, the hilltop people who daven, you know, but they'll miss my kriyashma, you know, they won't be careful about it. They love Shabbos and they're inspired by Shabbos, and you look at their Erev and your heart goes out. Their Erev is not kosher, you know, and they're carrying it. You don't know what. I know what I'm talking about. They're not, you know, Arab, you know, you generally throw up a string, you know. And that, but that's how people are. There's not enough time in the day. There's not enough years in our lives. That's how it is. I mean, that's my experience. If everybody you know excels in both, Ashreyach, I'm jealous of you. Usually I see to the degree that person's inspired and this is usually not, I don't want to say not careful because that's much too harsh, but that's not where his area of avoda lies. His avoda doesn't lie in like, and the ones that are like so careful and that they burn their matzahs, right? And they're super didactic in the technical aspects of the mitzvahs, and making sure there's a shear and the coast and this, and then they forget about the whole halachos. At least that's my experience. I'm not criticizing anybody. They're both no good. I only, very, very few people can balance both. Very few people. And it shouldn't be that way. The yeshivas do not encourage Chovas HaLevavos, you know, because the Chovas HaLevavos himself says, if you have to choose, you have to choose Chovas HaVarim over Chovas HaLevavos. You have to choose, but maybe I shouldn't put it that way. That was a wrong statement. You have to choose Ha'ara Toronis over Ha'ara Sichlis. If you have to choose, it's seer that you have to choose, because you'll never reach the goal. The goal is Ha'ara Sichlis. The goal is to live an inspired life, and to be connected to Hashem, and to absorb and integrate and internalize all the messages of all the mitzvahs. And, you know, to feel that way, and to go beyond the rituals, and to live and feel and relate to Hashem the way the mitzvahs push you. But it, you know, the door is very, we're very weak, we're very poor, spiritually poor. How many people even know Shas? And how many people who know Shas know how to paskin? And how many people who know Shas and know how to paskin learn deeply? It seems like, just like medicine has become very, how many people are still like general practitioners and specialize in everything? Very few. Everybody now specializes. So they specialize in Iyun, or they specialize in Bekiyas, or they specialize in Psak Halacha. That's how it is, because we're not, we don't have the ability anymore. It's a very, it's relatively rare. You know, to have a doctor that's like a GP, you know, they don't have GPs anymore. And because they can't charge as much. So now there's a new thing, you specialize in being a GP. That's goofy and special.
Family practice.
What?
Family practice.
Yeah, you specialize in being a general practitioner. But that's what it is. So it's the same, there's specialties. Okay, so these are the 10 levels of knowing Torah. He then goes, I finished that section. Okay. The next section, he talks about 10 levels of belief in Hashem. From the low, here already, the lowest is bad. Till now, to remain at the lowest was bad. But now he's going to talk about Apikurism and people who are movement, I'm not talking about the Jews, but the movement of Reform Judaism, Conservative Judaism, these movements, and how, you know, what's wrong with them, and how bad they are, how they're not. So he says, so I don't know if you have a text, Ardeos Anshiator Be'munosom, what they believe about Hashem, that's really what we're talking about. What do I believe about Hashem and the Torah? You say, what do you mean? I believe the Torah is from Hashem. Yeah, but we will learn it, and we will be maybe surprised at the levels of belief. Now, he makes, again, 10 levels. Why does he make 10 levels for? And Baruch Hashem, I would say the first three is not relevant to anybody that comes to this year. I would hope not. By the first, maybe you start getting a little, by the fourth, maybe he's like getting a little nervous. By the fifth, he's sweating already. Oh my goodness, there's like still five more to go, but like I'm number five. Like I'm missing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow. But I think if we would have the clarity of these 10 levels, I think there's an important purpose to it. And that is what we call Kiruv. He analyzes with such clarity the 10 levels of belief in Hashem, starting from zero. He doesn't start from a guy that's from and believes in Hashem. He starts from ground zero, the guy who has no belief. So I would think that if this would be a clarity, the Chavos HaLevus would urge us, if I meet someone and I want to inspire that person or teach him or influence him, I should only go, you know, get him to the next level. Then, because that's what he says at the end of Shaar Avodas Elokim, because he keeps making lists. That's why I call the Chavos HaLevus the book of lists. He keeps making lists, and he says at the end, and we didn't learn that yet, he says, I'm making these lists because life is a ladder, and don't try to take two rungs at a time. Telling you, you're going to fall. You're going to trip and fall. You're not going to. It's not the way. The way is to take one rung at a time, go up one step at a time. So here also, I would think that the value of telling us these 10 levels of belief in Hashem, belief in Torah and Hashem, what Torah means to me. How do I think of Hashem? What do I think of the Torah? Divinely inspired, divine. It's a nice idea. I'm gonna do it. What am I doing every Wednesday between 12:15 and 1 o'clock? Goodbye. It's not my wife. I would never talk to my wife that way. Maybe I would, but not in front of you.
Well, she would know where you were.
So I think it's value. I think it has that value, and I wonder if here people wouldn't think that way, right? They only think in terms of, and I'm not criticizing them, Chas v'Shalom, but I wonder, like they think in terms of making people throne. Maybe I don't know. They think in terms of preventing an intermarriage. But the Chavos HaLevus has such clearly defined 10 levels of belief, and he says they're always, and it's such a it's so beautiful and logical. He says it's commensurate with 10 levels of commitment. In other words, if Shabbos to me is a cultural thing, so if I'm going to get fired, this is what he develops. If I'm going to get fired from my job, all of a sudden I'll find my cultural Judaism in the cheese blintzes on Shavuos. You know, I don't have to have it in Shabbos because I don't want to get fired from my job. But if I think of Shabbos as a commandment from Hashem, like so that's why he says, Achdeus Anshei HaTorah Be'emunasam. The opinions, the attitudes of people of Torah, or the Emunosim, and their belief in Hashem and in Torah. What is that link, and what does it mean to me? What is Torah? Is Torah a good idea? Is it, you know, they say the 10 suggestions, not the 10 commandments? Does it make for a beautiful society? Maybe that's all Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us to live in this world. And maybe the people that believe, it's one of his levels, that there's no real spirituality or holiness attached to the Torah. It's just like the perfect society. Because people are nice to each other, and they're giving charity. And you'd be surprised how many people go through life like this. Right? People go through life and they think of Torah as, because it is. The funny thing is it happens to create the greatest society and the best balance between capitalism and socialism. The best balance is the Torah system, and the best balance between tzedakah and mishpat and din and lifnim mishuras hadin and chesed and rachamim and din. These things are always have to be balanced, and the liberals don't balance them and the conservatives don't balance them. Even though studies show that the conservatives who are against government programs always give way, way more tzedakah than the liberals. When they examine the tax returns, they see the liberals with the big tour. They don't mind giving money to poor people. They just want to give your money to poor people. They don't want to give their money to poor people. It's not a general group, but it's only a general rule, obviously, and it's not about people. But in general, studies show that conservatives, certainly religious people, give much more money, even Christians. People give way more charity than the biggest secular liberal, right? So there are people who live that the Torah just forms the perfect society. So he goes through these levels, and he says, like, my commitment to Torah will be commensurate with my belief of in Hashem and in what Torah is. Is Torah divinely inspired? Is it Dvar Hashem? You know, so to us, it's like, okay, you know. But once he gets to level 4 and 5, then you think, I can't believe this is only 5. Like, to me, this is like number 10 already. This is me. I think most people settle in at number 5, and that's scary because there's another 5 to go. Okay, we'll continue from here.
Rabbi, would you consider at one time...
I'm sorry?
Would Rav consider at one time teaching us how to daven properly? Because even your examples that you're giving are...
You're talking about now a weekly class of an hour for 2 years. You want to form such a class? Okay. Blina, yeah. I'll only do it because then I'll learn how to daven properly too. But you picked something massive. You know, you didn't just say, it's like saying, well, the Rav teach us the names of the Masechtas and Shas. You know, how to daven properly is once a week for an hour, a 2 year project, at least. Because there's conceptually davening properly, and then there's learning what the words mean.
Right.
And then there's so many levels of what the words mean. I can take out a Sefer Tehillim, let's say most of the davening is Tehillim. And I could learn Rashi on Tehillim, and I could learn Malbim on Tehillim. And like, whoa, that's like a whole different world. So yes, the answer is yes, but you're talking about a major class that's a long-term project. I mean, you know, davening properly is two words, but 2 years, at least an hour a week. So, if you organize it, I would love to do it, but then, as I say, then I'll be...